Money. It's a gas.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome back. I cannot believe it is literally, we're in the home stretch. We only got about 25 minutes, 24 minutes to go. And I am so glad that you're with me, because there's indeed so much on the agenda today. I really figured that I would need about an hour to an hour and a half to talk about the opioid crisis that has come out. So I'm going to try to do it in the next segment, this last segment, and try to get it all figured out and explained. Because we're dealing with opioid issues, and there was a report revealed this week. It was released, and there were people who are really against it that, well, guess what? Guess who was against it? It was the pharmaceutical drug companies. There was an article released this week, and several agencies picked it up. The Washington Post, which is, you know, some people like it, some people don't, but they have been fighting to get this information about the opioid crisis that is going on right now. And I tell you what, it is huge. It is huge what has been happening with the opioids. So the DEA, for the first time ever, a database maintained by the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA, that tracks the path of every single pain pill sold in the United States from manufacturers and distributors to pharmacies in every town and city is being made public. Can you believe that? That's amazing. So for the first time ever, a database maintained by the Drug Enforcement Administration, which tracks the path of every single pain pill sold in the United States from manufacturers and distributors all the way to pharmacies in every town and city, is being made public. The data was released as part of the largest civil action in U.S. history, and it provides an unprecedented look at the surge of legal pain pills that fueled the prescription opioid epidemic, which resulted in nearly 100,000 deaths from 2006 through 2012. So that's it in a nutshell. So they have only released, the judge, Dan, let me see, what was his name exactly? Let's see here. I have his number, name and number. Okay, here we go. So the judge's name was Dan Polster. It was U.S. District Judge Dan Polster, Polster. He removed, that was on July 15 of this year, 2019, so beginning of the week, removed the protective order for part of the ARCOS database. And ARCOS, A-R-C-O-S, is stands for the Automation of Reports and Consolidated Order System. The Automation of Reports and Consolidated Order System. The data provides statistical insights that help pinpoint the origins and the spread of the opioid epidemic, an epidemic that thousands of communities across the country argue was both sparked and inflamed by opioid manufacturers, distributors, and pharmacies. And so that is important. Now, the ones that, if you look at some of this information, and I am going back to this page, no? Yeah. So the biggest takeaways from the article are this. The national database has never been released publicly. So this is the first time. The database is based on previously unreleased company data supplied to the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, and reveals what each company knew about the number of pills it was shipping and dispensing year by year, town by town. It is a virtual roadmap to the opioid epidemic. The drug companies, along with the DEA and the Justice Department, have fought furiously against the public release of the database, which is the Automation of Reports and Consolidated Order System. Arcos. Number two, the companies flooded the nation with pills as the opioid epidemic raged. A Washington Post analysis of the database shows that America's largest drug companies distributed, hold on to your head here, 76 billion oxycodone and hydrocodone pain pills across the country between 2006 and 2012 as the nation's deadliest drug epidemic spun out of control. About two dozen companies are being sued in federal court in Cleveland by nearly 2,000 cities, towns, and counties alleging that they conspired to flood the nation with opioids. The companies, in turn, have blamed the epidemic on overprescribing by doctors and pharmacies and on consumers or customers who abused the drugs. The companies say they were working to supply the needs of patients with legitimate prescription, desperate for pain relief. So, which one do you believe if you listen to the sentence? If a child wants a cookie and you tell the child, sorry, you got to wait till we have dinner, and you stand firm on your decision, that child will not get a cookie. If the child says, I want a cookie, and you say, here, have a cookie, trust me, they come back in 10 minutes. Now I want an ice cream. So who is the one who is in charge here? You don't always give because somebody says, I need this pill. But even that is a big lie, because you find out in this article that the amount of pills being distributed to areas that absolutely were flooded with pills, you know that it was eventually distributed in the black market. So just six companies alone distributed 75% of all the pills. Six companies, 75% of all the pills. And these were oxycodone and hydrocodone during this period. McKesson, McKesson. McKesson. McKesson Corporation. Walgreens, I don't have to spell that. Cardinal Health. AmerisourceBergen, B-E-R-G-E-N. AmerisourceBergen. CVS. And Walmart, according to an analysis of the database by the Washington Post again. These companies, there were three companies that manufactured about 88% of the opioids. Companies I have never heard about. SPEC GX, a subsidiary of Mallinckrodt, Activist Pharma, and Par Pharmaceutical, which is a subsidiary of Endo Pharmaceuticals. Now, let's give you some numbers. And I used the calculator for this one. The volume of the pills handled by the companies climbed as the epidemic surged. It increased 51% from 8.4 billion in 2006 to 12.6 billion in 2012. 12.6 billion in 2012. So they said when you added it up, it was like 76 billion in 7 years. By contrast, doses of morphine, which is a well-known treatment for severe pain, averaged slightly more than 500 million a year during the same period. So 8.4 billion in 2006, 500 million morphine, 12.6 billion in 2012, 500 million morphine. Now let's take a look what that is. 12.6 billion, that is, you write down 12.6 and then you add 8 zeros to it. Okay? In 1 year alone. So 12.6 billion, if you divide that by 330 million Americans, that includes the old people and the teenagers and the children, 330 million Americans, that comes down to 38 pills per person. 38 pills per person. So if you know that your baby is not taking oxycodone, somebody has her 38. Now, if you take 12.6 billion and you divide it by just 12 months, so this is just for 1 year, you divide it by 12 months, you're talking about 1 billion 1 billion 50 million. 1 billion 50 million pills per month. If you divide 12.6 billion by 52 weeks, that is 242,307,692 per week pills. 242 million pills per week. If you divide it by days, 365 days, you're talking about 34,520,548 pills per day. Can you imagine that? 34 million pills per day. Boy, if I do that kind of sales, then I may just do the show full time. The number of pills that the company sold during the seven-year time frame are staggering, far exceeding what had been previously disclosed in limited court filings and news stories. So these numbers had never come out. The opioid epidemic began with prescription pills, spawned increased heroin use, and then resulted in the current fentanyl crisis, which added more than 67,000 deaths, 67,000 to the death toll from 2013 to 2017. Number five, things that you can take out of this DEA pill report. The states that received the highest concentration of pills per person per year were West Virginia with 66.5 per person per year. West Virginia, 66.5 per person per year. Kentucky, 63.3. South Carolina, 58. Tennessee with 57.7. And Nevada with 54.7. West Virginia also had the highest opioid death rate from 2006 through 2012. Now, rural areas with the greatest number of pills shipped per person per year were Norton, Virginia with 306. So this is the highest per person per year shipped, 306 per person. That is almost a pill per day on the average again. Now, interestingly, we have some numbers actually from Montana. I decided to check Montana. Montana, from 2006 through 2012, there were 245,472,116 prescription pain pills supplied to Montana in a seven-year time span. 245,472,116 prescription pain pills. You divide that by 7, that is 35,067,445 per year. 35 million per year in Montana. And if you divide that by 1 million people per year, right? 1 million people, that is 35 per person per year. Everybody in Montana. So we are very close to that 38 per person. And it is because there is what they call kind of an oxy belt, they call it, that starts more in Virginia and then comes down to Florida and then moves west. But that is still, that's a lot of pills. 35 opioid pills, oxycodone, OxyContin pills. From all these pills, well, McKesson has been always number one, 105 million of those 245 million supplied to Montana in those 7 years. 105 million came from McKesson Corporation. The top five distributors, McKesson, then Cardinal, then Walmart. Walmart, 25 million in those 7 years. Walgreens, 17 million. And let's see. The pharmacies, which were the pharmacies that sold the most pills in Montana, that between 2006 and 2007, Walgreens in Kalispell, 4,118,460 pills. The next one was, so $4,118,000. The next one was Montana CVS Pharmacy in Butte, $3,075,000. Walgreen Company in Missoula, $3,096,000. Walmart Pharmacy in Missoula, almost $3 million. Walmart in Billings, $2.9 million. So there's a lot of pills. This is all, of course, over 2006 to 2012. The volumes of the pills handled by the companies climbed as the epidemic surged. And we already said that. So it increased 51% from 2006, 8.4 billion pills per year, to 2000 through 2012, 12.6 billion per year. Is a lot of pills, I tell you that. Comparing county-level maps of opioid overdose death, and so county-level maps of opioid overdose death and pill shipments reveal a virtual opioid belt of more than 90 counties stretching southwest from Webster County, West Virginia, through Southern Virginia and ending in Monroe County, Kentucky. So those were the highest. And let's see if I can give you some more information. There was one article in the New York Times that came out. My daughter just sent this to me. That was July 19. It was yesterday. It said over here there was a town of 2,831 people. 2,831 people. They were sent 3,271 pill bottles. It's impossible. So what is happening with all these pills that are just being sent to people? The takeaways, I talked about that. Let's see. The fentanyl. Oh, what is this? Oh, that's something else. Okay, so the opioid pills, I tell you that the amount, the 10 companies, along with about a dozen others, are now being sued in federal court in Cleveland by nearly 2,000 cities, towns, and counties, alleging that they conspired to flood the nation with opioids. The companies, in turn, have blamed the epidemic on overprescribing by doctors and pharmacies and on customers who abused the drugs. The companies say they were working to supply the needs for the patients. The database reveals what each company knew about the number of pills it was shipping and dispensing, and precisely when they were aware of those volumes, year by year, town by town. In case after case, the companies allowed the drugs to reach the streets of communities, large and small, despite persistent red flags that those pills were being sold in apparent violation of federal law and diverted to the black market, according to the lawsuits. So keep in mind that this whole system was set in place that once they started producing the fentanyl, the oxycodone and the OxyContin, Purdue Pharma actually said that OxyContin was less addictive than any of the other pain pills on the market. And they were wrong. A lot of people became super addicted to these pills, and it has caused suicides and deaths in general. And people are just broke and became violent because they needed the pills. They were just druggies. So when you look at that number, then what the law became that as a drug company distributing these pills, you had to know exactly how many pills went where. And then you would have to keep track of that so that if there was an organization or a store that would order more than what seemed reasonable for the area, that would be a red flag. And so then it was the job of the drug company to literally go to that area and say, what's going on over here? How come you guys order so many pills? There is no reason for that many pills. And so this is where they went wrong. They simply would not follow up. Sometimes they check, but in general, they wouldn't do that. So the DEA would sue these companies and then say, you didn't follow our orders, so we need to penalize you. So you look at how much these pills cost, and then a large company like that, after they sell billions of pills, but they make billions of dollars. And again, I don't care if somebody makes money, that's not the issue. But if you do it over the backs of millions of people, then I do have a problem with that. Especially, nothing really benefited these people except that they didn't have that they were able to function for the time being. If you have inflammation or an injury, you need to go through rehab, get a physical therapist, work with your doctor. If necessary, get the surgery. Do your own work. Make sure you stay away from certain inflammatory foods. Make sure you can take some dietary supplements like turmeric, fish oil, garlic. You can do things like boswellia. There are essential oils. There are different things that you can take. Glucosamine, chondroitin. You may say, well, it didn't work. You can take collagen. It will work. It is literally a nutrient that fits the body and can help you reduce the pain. Now, with the whole work with and the studies done on the CBD content, the cannabinoids, which nourish our internal endocannabinoid system, which was, by the way, discovered by medical doctors in the 80s, that this system is very good to help our nerves, to reduce pain and work on pain receptors, as well as help us with sleep, help us with anxiety attacks, etc. So it works on both physical ailments as well as neurological problems. If you start using that, you could get yourself off the opioids. And when you look at this, these companies would get sued and maybe pay $120 million, with an M, million dollars in fines, which sounds like a lot for you and me, but for these companies, it was literally, they probably had that cash back in their back pocket. So the ARCOS system, the automation of reports and consolidated order system, what it did, let me see here, page 7. Good. The transactional data kept by ARCOS is highly detailed. It includes the name, the DEA registration number, the address, and the business activity of every seller and buyer of a controlled substance in the United States. The database also includes drug codes, transaction dates, and total dosage units, and the grams of narcotics sold. There is so much to know about this. I hope you get that article, you start reading it, and learn more about it. I'm sorry I'm running out of time. It has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I may elaborate again on this in a few weeks during Sweet Pea Weekend, because I don't think I have a guest then. But otherwise, we've got a lot of great guests lined up for you. I hope you tune in again next week, Saturday, for another edition of Gesundheit with Jacobus. And I just wish you a wonderful weekend. See you later. Bye-bye.
Are you ready to improve your life? It all starts here on Gesundheit with Jacobus. Health Talk Radio.